Bertie talks to the leader in association with the Guardian Voluntary Sector Network and becauseitsgood.org.
Hello, I'm Bertie Boredon. I've been working in the not-for-profit sector for over 10 years. In this podcast, I talk to chief executives, managers and innovators of the UK voluntary sector. I ask them about their role, their motivations and challenges. Welcome to Talk to the Leader. For 23 years, my guest was a commander in the Royal Navy. In 2000, he joined the Charity Commission as Director of Operations. After 4 years, he became Head of Operations at the Healthcare Commission. In 2006, he became Chief Executive of the MS Society. He also sits in the panel of the General Medical Council, is a trustee of the Neurological Alliance and the chair of the Neurological Commissioning Support. My guest is Simon Gillespie, CEO of the MS Society. Hello, Simon.
Hello.
Could you tell me a bit more about the work of the MS Society?
Well, there's about 100,000 people in the UK with multiple sclerosis, and multiple sclerosis, MS, is the most common disabling neurological condition amongst adults, young adults in particular. Typical diagnosis age of about 35 or so, and people tend to die with their MS rather than die of it. So it's a lifelong condition. There's no cure. And the Society was established just under 60 years ago to provide support in practical terms but for people with MS and their families and carers, but also to research into the cause and cure of MS and how we can improve services. And so those are our key objectives.
Okay, and do you remember the very first time you did something for a charity?
Yes, I did. I was at school. I was at a boarding school, but we were encouraged to get involved with the local community, so I sort of volunteered into conservation projects and things like that, which was a nice release, if you like, or relief, possibly, even for a sort of 12, 13, 14-year-old to go and get dirty, digging out ditches and things like that. It was great fun.
So a few years later, you started to work for the Royal Navy. What motivated you to join the charity sector?
Well, I've always been involved with charities as a volunteer and a fundraiser. For the last sort of 30, 40 years or so, that's probably giving away my age now, but never mind. I've been really keen to get involved. And when I left the Navy about 11 years ago, I went firstly to the Charity Commission. So I regulated the charity sector, and then to the Healthcare Commission, effectively as part of the startup team there. And I was looking around for a job in the voluntary sector at senior level, ideally as a chief executive. And the MS Society role became available, and I applied for it. There is actually a family connection. My aunt had MS as well, so I've got some practical experience of what MS does to people. She was very severely affected by her MS, and the practical things that an organisation like the MS Society can do to help people by way of support and information, as well as giving that hope for the future in research.
Do you remember your very first day as chief executive?
Yes, it was the 4th of July, 2006. I remember I'd been into the office before because I'd also sat in on a board meeting and I'd had other meetings. But the first time I was there, if you like, in my new role, Independence Day, although we didn't really celebrate it out in Cricklewood, I remember feeling that the organisation was large. Complex. I did, like anybody, I suppose, in this position, have some thoughts about could I actually do this job? Could I deal with the complexities of, at that stage, over 600 staff and over 9,000 volunteers, over 300 branches, you know, the nations and all of the devolution issues and the like. But I was warmly welcomed and, you know, I hope I found my feet very early.
And what have been the biggest changes you've witnessed since 2006?
Well, we've had major changes within the MS Society. One of the first things that I wanted to do was to have a look at our strategy and make sure we were really focusing on the things that were important to the MS community. We're a membership organisation. Our trustees are elected by our members. We've got well over 38,000 members across the UK. And what is really important for us is to make sure we've got those direct links so we can really fulfil the hopes and aspirations of people with MS, their families and their carers. So we had a major consultation exercise on a new strategy. We arrived at a new strategy that was overwhelmingly agreed by our members at our annual general meeting. We've just gone through a sort of midterm refreshment. We need to tweak it a little bit, but basically the feedback that we had from people were that we were on the right lines. So an increasing focus on research. We've trebled our investment in research each year since I started. We've really upped the ante on the information we provide. This year, for example, we've had a major overhaul of our website. Our publications win awards and they continue to do so. We're very proud of them. People said they wanted us to go more into the education of health and social care professionals so they understood about MS when they were sitting in front of them, as I'm sitting in front of you now. They actually understood some of the difficulties that somebody with MS had. people very much value the practical support and the emotional support they get. Our helpline is predominantly staffed by volunteers, most of whom have MS themselves, working from their homes and providing an excellent service to the many thousands of people that phone each year. But significantly, 5 years ago, people wanted their society, the MS Society. I remember one of the comments that came back from the consultation, which was they wanted the society to get loud about MS. And so over the last 5 years, we've significantly invested in our press and public affairs work, in our campaigning activities, and in the how we try and influence government policy as well. So we've seen that as a major growth area over the last 5 years.
So you have a very dynamic website with lots of videos. To which extent do you feel the internet and social media have changed the way you operate?
Oh, they've changed it quite radically. We've been a very open organisation for a while now. We're a membership organisation, as I said earlier. And we do things like webcasting our maiden events. Our annual general meeting is webcast. People can put in questions to myself and the trustees and the other directors, for example, during the AGM by emailing in or tweeting or whatever else. So we are already adapting very significantly to the sort of new media environment. Our website that we relaunched this year is probably about two or three steps on from what it was before. Very interactive, very dynamic. If you look at the comparison with traffic this time last year to now, we've seen about a 45% increase in unique visitors to our website. Really important for us in engaging with the MS community. And we've seen the more social media, so Facebook, Twitter and the like, and our message boards and more conventional web-based activity really take off as well. And it's very important for us in reaching out to the MS community, but also important for us to get feedback from the MS community about the issues that are important to people. And we regard that as a very important factor.
And you mentioned the discussion forum. Do you have other ways of using the web to deliver services apart from information?
We have video clips. So we have researchers talking about the latest research in MS. We've got a big library of those now. We go back and we tend to video most of the things that we do. So you can actually see a video clip of an information event, for example. And in April, we'll be running a major convention in Manchester, MS Life. We're expecting well over 3,000 people with MS to attend over the course of the weekend of the 14th and 15th of April. And we'll be webcasting key pieces from that as well. So for those people who can't attend, either because they've got something else going on or because their MS is so bad they can't leave the house or travel very far, then they have access to our services, the latest up-to-date information, and the opportunity to interact not just with the society, but with other people with MS. And actually that degree of mutual support, if you like, across the internet is really important for us.
And yourself, do you use Twitter?
I've dabbled a little bit. I think I do need to get into it rather better. I'll leave that to experts elsewhere in the society, shall we say. But I'm certainly on the receiving end of tweets, and I think they're a very useful way of keeping up to date.
Most of the chief executives I've met for this podcast told me about the impact of the recession. Have you been affected by the recession?
We found it more difficult to raise money, but at least as we stand at the moment, having looked at the latest set of management accounts, we think we're going to be slightly ahead of income target this year. But we know we face an uncertain future. And I think the challenge for everyone working in the voluntary sector is to really make sure that we justify our existence. We show the positive impact of what we're doing. We continually strive to be more efficient, and we've had a sort of 3% efficiency saving target for the last 5 years, which we've met. So that's cumulatively, we have generated more efficiencies internally to make sure we're as lean as we possibly can be, but also to demonstrate what's important to people. And know the fundraising environment. It's changing so quickly at the minute that something that might have worked 3, 4, 5, 6 months ago won't necessarily work now, and you've got to be really responsive to recognise the signs that something isn't working and stop it, or actually something is working and really reinforce that, but be prepared for that only to last for a month or two or three.
How do you manage innovation at the site?
Yes, well, I'm never quite sure that you manage innovation. Innovation is a state of mind and a culture as much as anything else. But I think it's important that good ideas are translated into things that can be practically applied as quickly as possible. And you need to encourage people to do that and not discourage them, because sometimes somebody has a bright idea, but when you put some practicalities around it, they feel a bit dispirited. You've got to encourage, actually, the whole point about a good idea is bringing it forward into practice and getting it to work. And you've got to be prepared to take some risks, I think. Many organisations I know at a time of economic challenge are becoming more risk averse They'll be saying, well, you know, why should we invest in this? Because there's a chance it might not work. Actually, I think the charities that are likely to be successful during the recession and, most importantly, position themselves well for the recovery are going to be those organisations who have continued to take calculated and measured risks, tried things out, been prepared to accept that many things won't work particularly, recognise those signs early, stop investing in those and invest in the things that work and keep on innovating, challenging and changing.
And at the same time, there's lots of discussions about the big society. Do you think there would be some opportunities for the MS Society?
I think there are undoubtedly opportunities there. I mean, when somebody determines properly what it is, but I think the general concept, I think we would probably all understand. And in fact, many people in the sector would say, actually, we've been operating in a big society for years, haven't we? I mean, we are heavily dependent on volunteers. As we stand in the society at the minute, our sort of core staff is about 250 paid staff. And 9,000 volunteers. Our organisation is heavily dependent on that voluntary effort, has been for the last 58 years and probably will continue to be until we find a cure for MS. And I think that makes it a very special place to work. And I know there are many other organisations like that too. I think what it does open up is the opportunity for a re-engineering of the relationship with government. I think government need to understand and accept that there are many charities who can speak with authority on issues, who are very well connected with their communities. The MS Society I put up as an example of that, and actually have some sensible things to say about how government policy should work. We can be challenging and we should be challenging on key issues, but we can work constructively and collaboratively as well. And I think there's a really important effort that needs to be made by government in understanding what charities can bring to the picture and actually understanding how they can work with them. Not see them as a threat. Understand that charities have to challenge and will challenge where they see government policy disadvantaging their constituents, but actually being able to work with them to come up with things that are far more sensible. And we've seen some examples of that over the past sort of year or so, but I'd like that to go a lot further.
Are there any big opportunities you regret to have missed or feel that you were too late to grab?
Yes, I suppose anyone's career is a lifetime of missed opportunities, and every now and then something works. I find it hard to put my finger on things that are specific. I'm by nature, I'm always somebody that wants to get more out of an organisation. So in that respect, there are always things that we can do and do differently. I think one of the things that I've learnt as the chief executive is you have to understand how your organisation works in order to recognise what really are opportunities for you. There is no point trying to do things that your organisation just isn't able to deliver on, whether that's because you don't have the capability to do it or you don't have the capacity to do it or some combination of the two.
And what do you see as the main challenges in the next few years for the society?
I think the economy has got to be one. Whilst we are currently confident about our fundraising, that's by no means complacency. We are always looking at it. I have regular meetings with the Director of Fundraising Marketing and the Director of Corporate Services, so you've got the money in and how you count it. And we're always looking at how things are performing to make sure we've got that critical perspective to make sure we're delivering. But the economy will be a challenge. And it's a challenge not just in terms of how we as charities raise money. We've seen a significant increase in demand for our services. And clearly government cuts and things like welfare benefits and the like are putting far more pressure onto people with MS as they are people with other long-term health conditions as well. And that's something we feel really passionate about and are trying to, you know, campaign to make sure that the cuts are actually, if they need to be applied at all, applied as fairly as possible, and that people with MS don't lose out.
And my final question, if you were not chief executive of the MS Society, what would you do?
Oh, that's an interesting thought. I suppose I'm not quite old enough to think that I'll go and lie on a beach somewhere sunny for the rest of my life. I would want to be doing something where I felt I was making a contribution, where I felt that the work I was doing actually made a positive impact for people. I don't think I could work in an environment that was dehumanised, if you like. I like the company of people. I like working with people. Ideally, I think I'd like to be working either in the public sector or the charity sector. Whilst I have an entrepreneurial approach, I don't think I'm a natural commercial player. I would really like to be. I feel no pressures to leave the MS Society, and actually, you know, albeit that I was second choice for the job, I've never looked back from that. I'm actually really keen to do a good job at the MS Society, so I can't really quite imagine being anywhere else other than for a short break for a holiday on a sunny beach. There's lots of other work to be doing at the minute.
Well, thank you very much for your time, Simon.
Thank you.
That was Talk to the Leader with Bertie Boredon. To find out more about this podcast and how to subscribe, go to nfp.org.uk.